Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
I'm Sherlock Holmes. Someone bring me chicken.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Hi, this is the show.
Hi, I'm Carrie.
And I'm Luke.
And this is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode number 28. Today is November 16th, 2010.
Yay!
And being loud, because I'm assuming that there will be a music track under my voice when this gets edited.
Well, it's going to be faded out about now, so you don't have to be loud anymore.
Okay.
Okay.
So, comments go at the beginning of the show.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, this time they do.
Because I missed that detail.
There were a couple of mandates sent down from upper management.
Whatever, I'll start, okay?
Okay.
Okay, Jared Ringgold says, call me crazy, but I prefer the sound of the show when Carrie is on Skype. You both have your own microphones instead of sharing the one, so the roomy sound is greatly reduced. Well, here's a treat for you. This is another Skype episode.
Yes, and just like last time, it didn't need to be this way, but it is anyway.
I did need to be this way. I was going to do this either way. So.
All right. So, and another facet of this is, well, I'll get into it later, but I personally like, you know, physically being face-to-face with Carrie when we record this as much as possible. So.
And we will do that next time.
Yeah, and so maybe if I ever have...
Even if I have to stay till 10, that's fine. We'll do it next time.
All right, well... It maybe perhaps in the, you know, sometime soon down the road, if I ever have any extra money, I could try to purchase a second microphone of decent quality so that we could each have our own microphone when we're here and I can just plug it into my mixer.
We could take donations from the crowd.
We could.
Then we could really buy a new mic. Right.
Do you want me to read the next comment?
Yeah, get back to comments.
All right. Tim Winslow, a.k.a. Pooh Bear, says, number one, I am a fan of Carrie. I want more of her music. She has her own style, just like all the other artists. Why should we judge the style of performing... Why should we judge the style of performing live if we love the music? She is awesome, and even if she just sat in a chair and sang without any real movement, I'd still love it. So, there's that.
Thanks.
Number two, bullying. I was bullied a lot as a child. And then he kind of itemizes four things, A, B, C, and D. A, grade school. Somewhere around third or fourth grade, I was in a parka. Gang of kids grabbed me, pulled my parka off, and put it on me backwards and tied me in it. I could not see or move my arms. The crossing guard finally saw me and untied me. B, junior high school shop class. One of the tallest kids in class loved to pick on me a lot. He pushed me over and I got really upset and punched him in the stomach, the first time I ever really fought back. His wind was knocked out. The teacher gave him the reprimand because he saw him start it. A small victory. It meant nothing, though. I still got picked on by everyone. C, high school, 10th grade. A kid stole my shoes and I had to walk around school in my socks for a while. Finally went to my locker and found my shoes full of water. D, high school, 10th grade, female who hated me talking to her good friend, who for some reason didn't mind talking to me, spilled a whole bottle of Avon's Roses on me, and I had to smell like that all day as the school would not allow me to go home and change. To date, I have a hard time smelling any rose-scented items. I continue to get picked on by coworkers, although now it's more fun than hurt, but it's been a nonstop ordeal for me since I was very young. Sorry I missed the last few episodes. I hope to catch up someday. Well, thanks for coming with all that highly personal stuff there, Tim. We appreciate it, and we feel your pain.
Yes. Thomas E. Reed says, okay, Carrie, you're feeling a little down about what happened at that con where no one requested your songs. Let me say that I think your voice and your act is spectacular. You don't have to be more quote-unquote physical or more loud. Every other male dementia artist has that. You have subtlety and wit and irony and charm. Thanks, Tom. I still get a thrill when I hear Road Tripper listening to you sing four-part harmony with yourself. Right at the Drive My Car bridge is the place where I shove my fist in the air. You have the finest singing voice in dementia, in my humble, uneducated opinion. Aw, thanks, Tom. Don't worry about keeping up with others. Do your own thing. Use your own special talents. I can see you on stage, hand on hip, head tilted, smiling in bemusement at the male axe camping it up on stage. Yes, I see you as a pink-wearing, red-headed version of Cher on her variety show, which I don't get because I've never seen that. And if it comes to getting your songs requested, have you thought about singing sing-along choruses? I saw the respected Filk singer Leslie Fish, and every song she introduced, she said, it's a real simple chorus. Sing along. Here it is. It'll work great for you. Think of it, an audience enslaved to your sing-along chorus. Josh is doing the honk, blowing his nose in the background. Anyway, I hope to hear much more from you, because you always make me smile and occasionally make me giggle like a loon. Aw, thanks, Tom. And thanks to you too, Pooh Bear. I don't like that I apparently come off as a, like, boring and low-energy performer.
A point I was trying to make during the last podcast that you kept shouting me down and not letting me make my point is that low energy doesn't equal bad or low quality. I'm, you know.
To me, it does.
Okay, there's Sam.
I look for energy on stage when I'm an audience member, so.
Well, you know, there's Sam Kinison and there's Stephen Wright, and they're both funny, and one's very high energy and one's very low energy. You know, they're both perfectly valid and awesome and hilarious, so. You know, if you want to be more high energy, then go for it. If not, that's okay too. Just, you know, we all want you to make more music.
I don't want to like make up a shtick or steal someone else's shtick. You know, I had thought of all kinds of ideas for props when I first started performing comedy music, but I didn't want to do that because that's what you were doing. And, you know, I definitely don't have the, technical ability or patience or concern to try to do videos, so I just stand up there and sing and I don't play hair violin like Shoebox, so you know, I can do is just present my music.
Well, if you get ideas for things that involve props or costumes or, you know, whatever else ideas you have, you know, I don't think you should reject them just because someone else is doing something similar.
Well, you're not anymore, but I still don't think I'm going to end up doing that. Right. Anyways, why don't you read Ken's comment?
Okay. Josh, shut your door.
Madman on the Loose, which is Ken Sherlock, says, Luke, I can't stand when I turn on the TV to watch a specific program and there is a musical performance happening before the event. If I was interested in watching that musical group, I would watch them on YouTube. I enjoyed hearing you talk about Weird Al. I was wondering if you started to enjoy the original songs more now than when you first started to listen to him. I'd say, yeah, definitely. I mean, the parodies still intrigue me, and I still think they're funny, but there's something about a Weird Al original when it's really good that's just, you know, epic as hell. You know,
me, like, and my high school best friend, Anna Marie, were obsessed with Frank's 2,000-inch TV.
I never got into that song, but I guess it's just because I think it's like an R.E.M.-style parody, and I never got into R.E.M.
Is it? I didn't even realize that. We were just obsessed with it. We had it memorized. We'd just start randomly singing it in class or whatever. It's a good song. It brings back good memories. Yeah.
So anyway, to finish up Ken's comment, I believe the Dr. Demento show voting of the last couple months defines more than anything Carrie's musical ability. Her voice is the most pleasant of any dementia artist.
Thanks, Ken.
Which, A, I agree with, and B, must be pointed out on the show that for the second month in a row, the song Twitter Tweetin' by Carrie Dalby was on Dr. Demento's top 10, coincidentally in the number 7 spot once again. So, yay for Carrie.
Thanks. It would be really cool if people go back to drdemento.com and request Twitter Tweetin' by Carrie Dalby again, because then I could secure a slot on the Funny 25.
Yes.
It would be even cooler if it made the top 5 for November.
Yeah, I agree with all those things. So
I'm not counting on it, but it would be nice.
Go to drdemento.com, drdemento.com, look for the request link, and request Twitter Tweetin' by Carrie Dalby, and help her make the Funny 25 with her own song for the first time ever. That would be super epic.
Dr. Don says, I don't usually leave comments, because you guys already know what I think of the podcast, and I'd get tired of typing the same thing every week, winky face. Carrie, please don't give up on comedy music. I, for one, love your stuff. And because everyone else seems to do it, a shout-out for Flat 29. Thanks, Don.
Yay. I finally, some things, some albums or things I get, you know, certain TV shows, movies, albums, I like specifically wait until I know I can give something my undivided attention before I listen to it. So I finally, over the past couple of days, got around to listening to the spiffy version of the Sherlock Holmes musical by Flat 29, you know, complete beginning to end with all the nifty bonus stuff, and it's a really a lot of fun, and it's very epic. It's pretty much another episode of the podcast. You know.
Oh, okay.
So I mean, that the commentary track is like, you know, it's like they're talking over the full length of the whole piece about making it. So it's really great. So anyway, you can go to flat29.com and it's like a £2, you know, initial fee. If you want to give them more than that, you can to help donate towards, you know, the band and stuff. But yeah, highly recommend it. You were saying, Gary?
I did something Flat 29 related for dinner.
Oh, tell me.
Charlie made up a recipe of the cheese and corn sandwich on the most recent episode of the podcast where the topic was cooking. So I tried my own version of the cheese and corn sandwich, and I had it for dinner. And unfortunately, I didn't think it was all that great. I would give it a 3 out of 10 stars, but hopefully I still get points for being a Flat 29 super fan and also being honest.
I made grilled cheese sandwiches today using the George Foreman grill.
Good for you. So you're going to read Sean's comment?
Sure. This one actually came in like just this afternoon. I had already printed up the comments and then another comment came in. So Sean gets it in just under the wire. Sean Ennis says, I think what we need is a greater volume of work from Carrie. Maybe do a fump a month for a while. It takes about 10,000 hours or 10 years of work to become an expert at anything. The first 10,000 is the hardest. Keep it up, Carrie. It's just a few more years.
Yeah, I'm not going to do the fump a month. And I'm not going to do 10,000 hours of being a funny musician. I'm not that passionate. Anyways, you can finish the comment.
I have to combine Weird Al and getting revenge on a bully into one story. When Eat It first came out, I was a pudgy kid in elementary school. There was one short little turd, funny how so many of them are short, who I'll only name as Robert P. I was about 50% taller and heavier than him. Robert spent much of the spring of 84 following me around and singing it at me. Foolishly, I thought he'd made it up, so I guess that makes Eat It my least favorite Weird Al song. At the time, my solution was to club him with my book bag and then sit on him. Flash forward about 5 years, and we had gone to a different junior and senior high schools. Robert decided to cut class and check out my high school. Walking down the hall, he suddenly popped out of a stairwell with a group of his friends. Puberty had been good to me. I was still 50% taller, about 100% heavier, and had a physique that would not have been out of place on the offensive line of a typical high school football team. Robert's eyes stared at my toes and made their way up to my eyes before he realized who he was standing in front of. In a panic, he screamed my name and then bolted for the staircase, clawing and scratching through the throng of students, I presume to get out of the building. The icing on the cake was his friends laughing at him as he fled. It was a big show for someone who wasn't in any danger to begin with. The bear is only dangerous if you poke it.
Wow, that's awesome epic. Story.
My all-time favorite Weird Al song has got to be White and Nerdy, followed by Fat, both of which, strangely, I see as geek-positive songs now. So, cool. Awesome story. Thank you very much, Sean. So, as we said before, a mandate came down on high from upper management saying, this week's episode will be very short, and also all the songs will be by female artists. So, yeah. That's what we're doing.
Okay, so I guess it's time for the first song.
Yes, time for the first song. This one is by the artist known as Judy Tenuta. I've been a fan for years. In fact, I named my cat Judy after Judy Tenuta, so this is one of her classic songs. It's Love Slave here on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Flower. My mama took me to see Santa Claus. He sat me on his knee. I was too
okay, 23. And he said, Judy, he said, Judy, what do you want from me? I said, Santa, I want you to hang upside down from the ceiling like a trout. And I'll beat you with a stick till all your toys fall out. I want to love. Got yelled at by Sister Odor Eater. She sat me on her knee and she said, Judy, she said, Judy, if you wanna have fun, you gotta become a nun like me and get married to God. I said, much later, sis. I want some guy with a bod. Petite adult about to get married. It could happen. I was kneeling at the altar in my baby petite white gown, and the priest said to me, he said, Judy, he said, Judy, do you promise to love, honor, obey, and do your duty? I said, sure, Father, I'll do all that stuff as long as my husband stays handcuffed and in the buff.
Yes. What does Judy call herself? Like a delicate and petite flower or something?
Yeah, petite flower, giver, goddess, fashion plate, saint, empress of Elvis impersonators.
I think Josh gets his nickname for me, which is Dainty Petunia in a sarcastic tone of voice. I think Josh gets that. Maybe he gets that from Judy Tenuta calling herself a petite flower, or however she says it.
That very well may be. Hold on a second.
Life has happened in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
First thing was, after our last show, I went to rehearsal for the scene recital thing at Northeastern Illinois University. And I got to say, it's disappointing how few people give a crap or care or are planning to show up to this, considering A, it's free, and B, I'm getting a bigger solo role than anything else anyone's seen me in on that stage. And C, it's got a hot lesbian love scene. But apparently Josh and Ken are the only ones who are going.
Sarah and I will be in St. Louis.
Yeah, so...
Or else I would be there, for sure. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's a big bummer. It's like, you know, all this hard work and nobody's going to be there. But by nobody, I mean Ken and Josh, who aren't nobody. But they're kind of, you know, the usual suspects. So that's happening. It's just kind of one of those things where, like, you put a lot of hard work into it and, like, nobody's there to appreciate it. So,
like when people don't leave comments on your song on the Fump.
Yeah, and then Friday, for that Friday, I went over to Ken Madman Sherlock's house, and we played Rock Band 3, and we rocked the house with our version of 25 or 64 by Chicago, using only the word tile. So it was tile, 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 tile. Tile, 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 tile. And then during the instrumental breaks, me and Ken and Mr. Tuesday and Ken's wife and daughter and nephew were all just chanting tile, 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 tile. And it was super epic. Then the next day, I saw Luke, because Luke came over here after drawing. And what were we doing over here, Luke?
Things. Keeping you company.
Fucking dumbass. We attended the Dementia Radio 10th anniversary Skype party.
Ah, yes.
On the Skypes.
Has that been posted as any kind of a listenable thing anywhere?
Not that I know of, but I wish it would be, because that would be cool. So that was cool. And the next day was Sunday, and after church I went and I looked at houses. And Josh was still out of town at this point, but I found one in Lombard that I particularly liked more than any of the other rental houses I had seen. And so we started pushing forward on trying to rent that. And then later that night, I went to see Megamind with Luke and Sarah.
I enjoyed the film.
It was a good film, and we played Wii Mario, Super Mario on the Wii.
Yes.
And then I picked up Josh at the airport. And then the next day, I guess I'll let you do most of the talking, because that was a pretty exciting Monday.
Well, there was an awesome Nerdcore show happening at the Subterranean in Chicago featuring MC Chris, MC Lars, Whitey Cracker, and Schaefer the Dark Lord. You know, so basically, you know, one Frontalot short of having all of the best names in Nerdcore in one show.
Yeah.
I had a caricature gig out in Schaumburg, which is in the suburbs, you know, for like an hour and a half at this, like, little conference. You know, so basically I had to, you know, get done with that gig, and our friend Kiki got a ride over there. So she, you know, once I got done with that at 7 p.m., I had to try to, you know, bolt over to the club for the show, which was starting at 8 p.m. And apparently there was some idiot left a briefcase on the subway, or the L train, whatever the frick it's called.
Yeah, on the L platform.
Yeah. So somebody thought there was, like, a bomb. So, like, they shut down a huge section of Highway 94.
Because some guy left a briefcase on the platform.
Or technically Highway 90, yeah. Yeah, so a huge section of 90 was shut down.
The Kennedy.
And so there was no way to really easily get towards the downtown direction. I didn't
like the fact that earlier in the day you had texted that you would be there at 8 or 7 or whenever it started. Because I was like, uh-oh, he's jinxing himself. You didn't say, I should be there by 8. You're like, I will be there by 8.
Well, whatever. I was probably just typing quickly. The point is that I managed to avert highway hell and get over to, I believe it was Irving Park Road. And I actually made decent time on Irving Park. But once I got to Milwaukee, the diagonal road heading towards, you know, the Subterranean, that's when things just went to hell with the traffic. That was
insane. Milwaukee always sucks that time of day.
So, and I'm sure that, you know, there was probably some residual traffic, you know, from people trying to avoid the highway, because it essentially runs parallel with the highway, just, you know, in a
different way. And Kiki managed to miss most of Schaefer the Dark Lord.
Yeah.
Which sucks for you guys. That was the main reason why I had showed up. Because he's my favorite he's my favorite nerdcore artist and one of my favorite artists, period, ever. And I was very pleased that he remembered who I was. Yeah, I'm like, hi Schaefer, do you remember me? And he's like, Cary Dalby. And he's so funny because he's so uber smiley and friendly and like nice and warm off stage. And on stage, he's this evil villain asshole.
He's a very bad man.
He's a very, very bad man. And I turned to Josh and I was like, I wonder which one is the real Schaefer. And Josh said, I'm guessing the real answer is yes. You know, so he did an amazing show. He's an amazing performer. You know, it saddened me to see how few people knew who he was, because he should be way more famous than he apparently is. But like he said, he's been going to these shows on this tour, and he's like, yeah, not a lot of people know me at first. He worded it better than I did, but the insinuation being they'd fucking know who fucking Schaefer the Dark Lord is by the time that show is over.
Yeah.
So.
And he's like, "You're all gonna Facebook friend me, and I'm gonna accept all of you."
Yes, he said that too.
So, but
I managed to push my way up to be at the front during his show, and then after his show, MC Lars was too loud for me, so I retreated to the balcony where I no longer could see anything at all.
Yeah, that's where Sarah and Jared and Ken were mainly hanging out, because it was near the merch table and stuff.
Yeah.
But during my caricature gig, I had out of nowhere gotten a text from MC Lars asking me if I wanted to join him on stage to sing backup on Mr. Raven. So I'm like, sure, yeah. And at the time, I had no idea about the traffic hell. So, you know, I'm glad that I got there before Lars started so that I could fight my way up to be next to the stage. I had, like, texted him back, let him know it's like, I'm here, I'm near the stage, and I didn't know if he got the text or not before the show started, and I didn't know that Mr. Raven was going to be the last song, so I thought maybe at one point that he was going to bail on the song because I wasn't there or something, but then that was the last song. We should also mention a local Chicago nerdcore group called the Former Fat Boys. The two main guys from that group were there, Corey and Ben, and they're really nice guys. I'd like to do a show with them in the area if I could. We played their song "I'm a Dinosaurus," one of the remixes, on a previous Bad Report episode. And go to YouTube and check out the music video for "I'm a Dinosaurus" by Former Fat Boys. It's freaking awesome. It's full of Back to the Future stuff and Jurassic Park stuff.
The funny thing is I was in the, as you took the stage with MC Lars, Josh and I were quite literally in the process of leaving, because I have this day job thing that I couldn't really get out of, 5:30 in the morning, yada, yada. So I wasn't, as much as I wanted to, I wasn't sticking around for MC Chris. And if I hadn't been kind of stalling on walking out the door, just because I kind of wanted to hear what the next song was going to be, I would have missed you on stage with MC Lars. But then I heard him say your name, so he came back up the stairs to watch you, and luckily I was able to see you guys as well from where I was standing.
Yeah, and if he had like let me know a day or so earlier, I would have like re-listened to Mr. Raven a few times just so that I kind of could have it fresh in my head of like what all of the, you know, what the lyrics are, you know. Not
you
that
you seem to know quite a bit of it.
Yeah, you know, I
hey, Willow
Pillow. Aww.
But, you know, it was very cool to have gotten on stage with him. And then, you know, MC Chris went up next, and I didn't actually physically see much of his show, but I heard it, and it was, you know, a fun show. And I actually had a chance to hang out and talk with Lars for a while, which I haven't really had a chance to do much in the past few years. So, you know.
Yeah, like, but I mean, like, for those of you that don't know, you know, Luke was a huge supporter of MC Lars back in his early days when he was kind of on the crappy side. And Luke was a big support, was big and supportive in ways that he can describe better than I can. But
well, the way Lars describes it, and this is the way he described it on stage, was that back when he first started out, he was trying to get his music on the Dr. Demento show and didn't know how, so he posted something at one of the Weird Al forums online, probably Alt Music Weird Al, and asking for advice, and I was the only person who responded to him and, you know, told him how to do it, and then he got on the Dr. Demento show, and, you know, he sent me his music, and I would play it on Dementia Revolution back in the day, so I kind of was playing Lars before anybody else in the world knew who he was, and then suddenly, there he is on my TiVo with a music video, and there he is all over the place, so now he's like, you know, one of the biggest
names in nerdcore. He's always super famous.
And I'm still, you know, not...
Well, but we got to rock the crowd at Dragon Con and Comic Con, 5,000 people each.
Yes.
With Grease Wars.
Yep. It was pretty awesome.
So, is there anything else you want to say about that show, or can we move on with our...
We can pretty much move on. Oh, well, I should say, I said hi to MC Chris, too, after the show, you know, basically to be like, hey, you know, great show, blah, blah, blah. And in our quick little conversation... You know, I mentioned, oh, I just came from a caricature gig, and he's like, oh, you do caricatures? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, I'd love it if you do a caricature of me. So at some point in the near future, I'm going to do a caricature of MC Chris and mail it to his P.O. box so that...
For free?
Yeah, because, you know, he's...
How does he get these things for free?
Because he's MCP Pants, yo! I'd do an impression, but then I'd blow up the microphone and it would annoy people. Anyway.
Yeah.
So moving on to later in the week, things happened.
WindyCon, isn't that next?
Friday night, I went to see Toy Boat and Tom Smith perform together.
I'll have my own separate Friday night story when you're done with your Friday night story.
Well, long story short is Toy Boat rocked the stage with Tom Smith, basically them doing, you know, primarily covers of Tom Smith songs with Tom singing his own lead vocals, and it was a really great show. They had some rocky moments, but... Once they, you know, got into the groove, it was really cool. I mean, the sound was mixed really well. I could understand everything Tom was singing. You know, it was awesome, and I hope that they do it again, is the overall point. So,
is that the main thing you wanted to say about Friday?
If the audio from that concert came out well and it's available, I'll let people know in the future so that they can purchase it or download it or whatever.
I wanted to be there, but I couldn't go because I was too busy seeing live for the first time and eventually meeting one of my biggest heroes on earth, Dan Savage, the sex advice columnist and podcaster and one of the smartest and funniest, you know, people you could ever listen to ever in your whole life, ever in the world, ever. And so I got to hear him in the city. I saw him and his brother Bill Savage, who's straight, unlike Dan. But Dan hails from Chicago. Now he lives in Seattle, but his brother still lives here and teaches at Northwestern. So the two of them were on stage, so to speak. It was kind of like a giant classroom. And... for the first 45 minutes, they talked about sex education and caused everyone to laugh our asses off. And then the other 45 minutes or so, they took, you know, nasty sex advice questions from the audience that were written on little index cards. And so Dan fielded those questions. And Josh was with me there, so that was good because, you know, I'd played the podcast for him a few times, but after that night, then Josh was really won over by Dan Savage, and I don't know how you could not be. He's fucking hilariously smart. He compares sex education in the U.S. to, like, if driver's ed was teaching you about how a car worked instead of how to drive a car. And, you know, he's right. Sex education doesn't teach anyone anything about sex. So, not in this country anyway.
Yeah.
And so then was the real treat afterwards because he was selling books. I bought his book, Savage Love, which is also the name of his column, and his podcast is called The Savage Lovecast. And it is my number one top, even more so than Flat 29, it is my number one top favorite podcast, The Savage Lovecast. I never, if it's on my iPod, it's always the first thing I listen to.
Well, what if Flat 29 did a show where the topic was sex? Then would they be the top podcast that week?
Maybe. But it would just be for 1 week, and then Dan Savage would be back on top. So I wasn't thinking that he was going to be meeting people, because there were so many people there that I didn't think there'd be any. But I just asked as I was buying the book, oh, is he signing? And they're like, yeah, he's over in the gym. Oh. And we went over in the gym and stood in line, and it was like pretty small line compared to how many people showed up. So I don't think that many people knew about it. They hadn't announced it. And waited in line for like a mere 15 to 20 minutes or whatever, and got to meet Dan Savage. And I know you already know the story, Luke, but for the listeners, what happened when I met Dan Savage was, first I walked up with my book and I'm like, will you sign this book? He's like, no, I'll sign it for everyone else, but not for you. Just kidding. But, you know, he didn't say just kidding, but, like, you know, you could tell he was being sarcastic. He was actually very warm and sweet in a very sarcastic way. And then I was like, will you be in a picture with me? And he's like, okay, I hate pink, but I get to try and unhook your bra. And so while Josh is taking a picture of me and Dan Savage, Dan literally was trying with one hand to unhook my bra. And he couldn't do it because the hook was all a weird hook that was all tangled up. But he was like, what, you got some kind of weird hook going on here? And then Josh took the picture. And I had said, I said, thank you for the hundreds of hours of entertainment. And he said, they pay me. You don't have to thank me. And yeah, because I've literally, he's been podcasting for 4 years, and I've listened every week for 4 years, and I've listened to all of them. So I really can't think of anyone off the top of my head who I'd want, like, of the celebrities that I would be more excited to meet than Dan Savage. So, you know, it's all downhill from here.
What about the guy who played Hedwig?
I already met him.
Oh, okay, never mind that.
Yeah, so the two times I met famous gay men, John Cameron Mitchell gave me a kiss on the lips, you know, a smooch, and a rose, and then Dan Savage tried to unhook my bra. What is it with you gay men? So then the next day was WindyCon, which I eventually showed up for, but I'll let you do most of the talking because you were there a lot longer.
Well, you got there before I did. On Saturday.
Oh, so I did. Well, all that happened was me and Josh and Ken, whose birthday it was that day, and Sarah and Jared, Mr. Tuesday, all went out to dinner at Ed DeBevick's in Lombard, Illinois, which is where the con was taking place. Lombard, Illinois. I'm trying to say Lombard instead of Lombard, which is how most people say it. Because Lombard, because it's spelled with an O, first of all, and second of all, Lombard makes me think of Lumberg from Office Space. But so we went to eat at Ed DeBevick's. Later, Luke showed up, and
the funny part is that I was at the other Ed DeBevick's in downtown Chicago drawing caricatures. There's only two Ed DeBevick's restaurants, so I was drawing caricatures all afternoon at 1. Then I packed up my stuff and hauled my ass out to the other existing Ed DeBevick's in Lombard. And just showed up at the last second after quickly running over to Best Buy to buy Ken his birthday gift, which was a card for Xbox Rock Band points and stuff so he can get songs.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And we gave him a ridiculously too high gift certificate to GameStop. So, anyways, isn't that the place that fired Ian?
Yes.
Why are we giving them money?
Because they're the, you know, whatever, pick your, you know, They're basically the dominant video game store of the USA. It's Blockbuster Video, Walmart, McDonald's, you know, GameStop. They are the video game store that's everywhere, especially in Chicago. There's fucking tons of them.
So then we all went back to the con, and we were late, but we made it to Beth Kinderman's concert. Josh and I were ghosting, which he felt ridiculously guilty about, but literally the only official con events we went to were part of Beth Kinderman's concert and part of the Feng Shui Ninjas concert. And Beth sounded awesome. Her voice has really blossomed, I guess. She's got an amazing singing voice that makes me jealous. So
plus the fact that we all sheepishly showed up a little bit late for the show, but then like when that song ended, she immediately had to point out, like, you know, oh look, all of my friends from the Fump and Dementia Radio are here, and then she said
a gaggle of us just showed up.
So she's like, you know. Yeah.
And she named us all. Yeah. Yes. So that was awesome. And
so yeah, her and the Feng Shui Ninjas both did great shows. That was cool.
And at that point, you know, to make a long story short, me and Josh left. So what else happened that night?
Well, me and Sarah and Jared went to see the rest of Tom Smith's act at the Masquerade, and that was good and everything, and you know, hung out for a bit, and then, you know, went home ourselves. Because Sunday at 11 a.m., I had a concert at WindyCon, and, you know, Sunday at 11 a.m., not exactly the prime time to have a concert at a con, because
I was at church in Park Ridge.
Yes, people are at church, people are checking out of their hotel rooms, people are hungover, people are asleep. All in all, the show went well. I had about 10 people when the concert started, and I had a pretty decently full room by the time it ended, you know, at least 50 people, I'd say, not more. You know, made some decent sales there, and one funny moment happened, and because it's happened before, but it's like memorizing new songs is always hard, but I always know that a song I have pretty much memorized and down for good when I get to a point where I'm doing the song, but, you know, my mind always has to be doing at least two things at once pretty much the majority of the time. Like, doing this podcast is one of the few things I do where that's the only thing I'm paying attention to. And even that, sometimes I get distracted. But still, I'll be on stage, doing whatever, lyrics, and in my head, I'm thinking about other things. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, the next song, or I'm thinking about, you know, what I'm going to eat for dinner later, you know, or whatever. So it's like, if I can think about other things while I'm doing the song, then I know I have the lyrics memorized because it's all just flowing out of me.
Yeah.
But I started performing House Party at Arkham Asylum. And as I'm performing, I got so deep into, it wasn't very long, but I got so deep into a thought about something else. I'm not even sure what it was. You know, maybe it was the next song I'm making for the Fump or some other thing I was thinking about so deeply. And then when I, like, snapped out of the trance I was in for however many seconds that was, I realized the lyrics I was doing was for a different part of that song. And I suddenly had to stop and say, wait a minute, where am I in this song? Because that lyric was from, you know, whatever, three or four verses.
Yeah, I've seen you mess up that song before.
So then, like, I stopped and I'm like, wait, this isn't the right thing. So then I, like, you know, so I'm sorry, I screwed up. And I went over by the speaker trying to, you know, hear, like, what the next sound effect coming was, because that would be my cue to know, like, oh, that's where I am, because I know that's the end of the Catwoman stanza. And then, you know, the next one after that is the Riddler. And then when I start to sing the Riddler's lyrics, my brain went, no, wait, it's Mr. Freeze, then the Riddler. And then by then it was like just a train wreck, and I'm like, all right, you know what? I'm sorry, I just have to stop this. And I hit pause, and I basically went to the audience and I said, you know, my people, like my good friend Tom Smith, who play guitar and do these funny songs, you know, they're at a definite advantage compared to me, because you know, when they make a mistake like this, they can just keep strumming their guitar and be like,
yeah,
I'm going to keep playing this chord until I think of the right lyrics. Oh, and I'll make a joke and talk to someone in the audience and say, hey, I like your shirt. That's funny. Blah, blah, blah. What's that word? Oh, yeah, here it is. Lyrics.
Yeah.
You know, so I basically did that on stage, and that got a nice big laugh. And then I moved on to the next song, which was Star Wars Trilogy Homesick Blues. So,
yeah.
So that was a nice moment. That pretty much was that for the con. Well, I went and hung out with my friend George Makis at his merch table. Sarah and I hung out there and, talked and stuff. And, yeah. And I think that was about it. And then last night I went to...
Hey, wait.
Okay.
I had a Sunday, too.
Okay.
But I don't really want to get too much into it. I did go see a friend who's, I guess I'll just say she's in a nursing home right now, and I gave her an iPod that had all of her CD collection on it, and plus some bonus stuff. So she really liked that, so that was cool. The stuff relating to that situation is going to affect my life a lot, but not necessarily wanting to talk about it here. And then Monday happened, and that would be yesterday. And is that where you were going?
Paul and Storm were in town doing a show with Peter Sagal from the show Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Yes.
Where basically Paul and Storm were doing their music, and Peter Sagal was reading pieces that he wrote, including his henchman bit that he did at Woodstock. So basically it was them going back and forth between songs and spoken parts, and it was a neat show. It was at a theater called Lincoln Hall, which is right across the street from the Biograph Theater, the famous theater where John Dillinger got shot out in front of it. And Sarah and I were working merchandise, so we got to get into the show for free and, be the merch people. So, a very long story short is somebody stole Storm's guitar when they flew into O'Hare the day before. And the people on the Twitterverses were basically trying to use the power of Twitter to see if we could, find the person who stole Storm's guitar. I kind of doubt that's going to work, but... There was an upswelling of support, and a famous musician named Jeff Tweedy, who's from the group Wilco, who I have to assume is a Chicago local, lent Storm his acoustic guitar so that he had a guitar to play for the show. So, and they have an album called Do You Like Star Wars, and on the front is a cartoon drawn by Molly Lewis, who we'll get into later. And it's a drawing of a cartoon Paul saying to a cartoon Storm in a word balloon, "Do you like Star Wars?" And it's very cute.
Yeah.
So they didn't have a merch table sign, so I found a clean sheet of paper and a Sharpie, and I made a merch table sign, and there was space at the bottom. So I did my mock-up copy of Paul and Storm cartoons with Paul looking the way he does on the album and Storm looking the way he does, except, like, angry. And Paul is saying, "Do you like guitar thieves?" And Storm is saying, "Fuck no." Except the fuck was like a swear word cartoony thing.
How was the turnout?
It was good. I mean, it wasn't like packed, like, standing room only, but, the downstairs level seemed to be pretty much full, and the upstairs balcony levels seemed to have people in them all around. So it seemed to be a decent show. And Sarah and I sold merchandise, and they made some money, and yeah. So and afterwards, the best part was, and I should mention, it might be on YouTube. I haven't looked. Paul and Storm wrote a song about the guitar thief. It's a short one, but if somebody I know was filming stuff and was claiming that they were going to throw it on YouTube, so I hope that that their guitar thief song is on YouTube by now. Because basically after everything was over, me and Sarah and Jared Perez was there, and Paul and Storm were just kind of standing around talking for like 5 or 10 minutes, and it was just, nice to just chill and talk with them for a little bit, in a situation where it's not insane like Woodstock or a post, Jonathan Colton show. So.
Yeah, so I had something significant happen to me on Monday.
Oh, really?
I chose not to go to the Paul and Storm concert because of it being a work night and stuff. But, yeah, so that house in Lombard, Illinois that I alluded to earlier, well, officially Josh and I are the lessees of the house as of December 1st, although we're paying double rent in December, so our move is going to be sometime in December. We don't know when yet. And we are going to go to the suburbs. I haven't lived in the suburbs for 18 years, so it'll be new and exciting for me. And the house is really cool and cute, and I can't wait to see it again. And we're I've lived in this apartment for almost 8 years, which is longer than I've lived anywhere else in my entire life. So yeah, we're moving.
Yay! This makes me happy because she will now be in a area of town that's much easier and faster for me to get to and from.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's you know, there'll still be a little bit of, you know, traveling finagling when we want to hang out, but overall, I think it's going to be a hell of a lot easier for us to hang out and do stuff.
Yeah, it'll be easier for me to hang out with you and Ken and Matt and Tara, and a lot harder to hang out with my city friends. But it, you know, the city's still here; I can still get to it. We're going to be living 9/10 of a mile away from the Lombard metro station. So, cool. You know, a little farther than I'd like to be from it, but you know, it's reasonable.
So you're closer to work and assuming you and Josh start a family, and by that I mean, you know, pump out a unit.
pump out a unit?
That's what George Carlin said. Having a baby. What are the other advantages to this house?
If you had wrote that line yourself, then we would have had our episode title right away. what are the other advantages?
Yes.
It has 3 bedrooms. It has will have garage access. The house owners are going to be doing lawn maintenance, which is wonderful. Because like they do that for a living or something. However, the downside is, of course, you know, we'll have to do our own snow removal, which we're not used to doing. But, and we'll have to pay our own everything, which right now, I pay for electric, gas, and, cable/internet. And instead, when we're there, I'll have to pay for everything that's a thing. Garbage, water, you know, recycling. I'll have to pay for everything. But, I don't know. It's just cute. It's colorful. It's got a gigantic tree growing out of the back deck. And it's got a really big backyard, and it'll just be nice to be more relaxed and to be closer to work. And you know, we're just kind of grown weary of living in the city, so we're really excited that we don't have to vote for mayor. Because as much as we don't like, you know, Mayor Daley, we don't like our other options even less. We like them even less. So, yeah, I'm going to shut up about that now, but there'll be a lot more about that later, although it could interfere with the podcast at times in the next couple months.
Well, we'll see what happens. In other news, I got the gold trophy on Plants vs. Zombies, so.
That's a big achievement.
I'm trying to work on defeating all the other mini achievements and stuff, but, yeah. Anyway, So that wraps up what Luke and Carrie have been up to in the past 2 weeks.
Okay, I thought you were going to say the other thing, but that might be better for next time.
Oh, well, yeah, I'll save that for next time, because that'll be another story, and we're trying to keep things short. So, but it's a positive thing, so don't worry about it, everybody. So yeah, we're move on to the next song. This one is by Garfunkel and Oates, and this kind of seems appropriate considering you were talking about Dan Savage. This is up his alley for sure, with practical knowledge for those who need it in the realm of sexuality. And we'll just leave it at that. So here it is, Garfunkel and Oates, on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. Here we go.
I'll use my icky sticky rhymes to help me explain it. Handy J's are like Stonehenge to me. Robert Stack can't even unsolve this mystery.
I'm the messed up child of a baby boomer. I was in the gifted class, but a total late bloomer. Now I got a secret to get off my chest. Went from kissing to sex, but never learned the rest.
In high school, I was in the marching band, not learning what to do with my hand. While other girls were dripping like a Jackson Pollock, I blossomed later than Mayim Bialik.
I'm investigating bones like Deschanel, trying to make it stand up like Dave Chappelle. When I stare down the barrel of a semi-hard dick, I feel more singled out than Chris Hardwick.
I studied Bach, Jacques Chirac, and Isaac Asimov, but I wasn't on the ski bus jerking people off. Wouldn't let you touch my chest like your vapor rubbing Vixen, let alone deep throat your tricky dick Nixon.
I want to learn how to make your water gates flow. I'm resigned like Spiro Agnew that I might never know how to HJ your LB Johnson. Know less about dicks and Samantha Ronson.
I should have explored new frontiers like Will Wheaton, but I was more conservative than Alex P. Keaton. I've fallen into crisis just like the Dow.
I want to give a handjob, but I don't know how.
Hand job, land job, I don't understand job. Do I spit, do I squeeze, do I ever touch the top? How can I learn when you always make me stop?
Full-blown investigation to unlock the secrets of ejaculation. I need a translator like I'm reading Balzac to crack the Rosetta Stone over your ballsack.
The top is the part that confuses me the most. It looks like a silly putty Pac-Man ghost. Sometimes it's Jell-O Jiglin, sometimes it's denser, but they all look like a Darth Vader Pez dispenser.
Like Sam Jackson, I'm not as good with Shaft. When it's soft and flabby like President Taft, it's like a deep south queen that you want to make straight. Will I make it up right if I move it like a shake weight?
Move it like a shake weight, move it like a shake weight. Now I'm pumping like brakes that aren't anti-lock, trying not to go psycho on your Alfred Hitchcock. I go a little faster and then I retard. It's like a hamster that you don't want to squeeze too hard.
I'm working my hand till it gets arthritis. I'll be holding till I get the golden touch of Midas. I think therefore I am getting my Descartes on till I fully comprehend your Marcia Gay hard-on.
But the biggest throbbing question of all's, seriously, what do you do with the balls? Do I roll them like dice? Do I mold them like clay? Do I tickle them like Elmo or throw them like a Partey?
Do I move them all around or cup it slow? They're like the two well-critic puppets from the Muppet Show, just sitting there cranky and superfluous. How about I don't touch them unless you insist?
Hand job, land job, I don't understand job. Do I spit, do I squeeze, do I ever touch the top? How can I learn when you always make me stop? Make me stop.
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid! Created by Devo Spices at devospice.com, compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney, and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid.
Special thanks to Andre Tessier for our lead-in. In a world where supposedly intelligent people can copy and paste articles from the internet into their magazines without getting permission or giving compensation to the writer because they honestly believe that, quote, the web is considered public domain, unquote, we're going to use this week's segment to dole out some common sense helpful life tips because apparently some really obvious things need to be said.
These next three were submitted by Kyle Hudson. Here's a helpful life tip. If someone leaves a mysterious unmarked package on your doorstep, call the authorities. However, if you recently ordered something from Amazon.com and someone leaves a box labeled with the Amazon.com logo on it on your doorstep, don't call the authorities. You'll just be wasting Joe Friday's time, which is what happened last week in Hudson, Ohio. So, you know, don't do that, dumbass.
Here's a helpful life tip. Don't shoot squirrels. Why? Because squirrels are nice and cute and fuzzy and cuddly and don't harm anyone. Also, what you think is a squirrel might turn out to be a bow hunter hunting deer, which is a human being and not a squirrel at all. How could anyone possibly mistake a squirrel for a human being? Well, you might have a 0.12 blood alcohol level, which is what happened at Buck Creek State Park in Ohio. So, you know, don't do that, dumbass.
Here's a helpful life tip. If you get into a heated argument with someone, particularly if you've said things that might be considered offensive to the other person, don't immediately have that person tattoo something on your back. The chances of you getting what you ordered, say for instance, a yin-yang symbol with some dragons, you'll probably get something else, like a 15-inch long penis with an obscene slogan. And if you've really torqued the guy off, he'll even misspell the obscene slogan. Well, that's what happened between two men in Ipswich, Australia. So, you know, don't do that, dumbass. Insert your own penis jokes here, because frankly, I'm bored with them. If this had happened instead between two women, I'm sure the artist would have drawn a classy vagina, and the spelling and text would have been exemplary. That artistic skill is, of course, known as cunnilingraphy.
This submitted by Tom Elliott. And finally, here's a helpful life tip. Don't try to switch places with the driver of the vehicle you're in while you're driving down the highway, especially if you're being chased by the police for using a gun to steal a $10 pair of sunglasses from a gas station while you're on a double date with your dates in the back seat of the car. You'll most likely end up crashing your car, which is what happened to two men in Detroit. Apparently, the armed man who was not driving demanded they switch because he felt the driver wasn't driving fast enough. After the crash, one of the men tried to flee, but was tased. So, you know, don't do that!
People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Dumbass!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Alrighty.
Are we still recording?
Yes, we are.
I'm glad our listeners have enjoyed that completely flawless performance of News of the Stupid that required no editing whatsoever.
No!
Editing.
Whatsoever.
Is that a stolen joke?
Maybe. So...
Rant incessantly about some bullshit.
Well, here's the ironic thing. The whole point of this section was for me to rant things so that Sarah wouldn't have to hear me rant about them anymore, but she's sitting right next to me right now.
So she has to hear it one last time.
Can you handle it? Here, you can take these headphones.
What did she say?
She wants to put on headphones so that she can listen to things on her computer and not hear me. This stupid crap.
Except that he keeps taking all of my headphones.
And you know what?
Yeah, actually, that's why I would have been on Skype 5 minutes earlier, but my husband took my headphones. So apparently the job of husbands is to take headphones.
You know,
we could
just say the hell with it and play the next song.
I'm fine with that.
All right. Yeah, well, let's just do that. We want to keep this episode short. None of these.
Yeah,
are,
no. I have a rough week. I have the dress rehearsal tomorrow for the thing that nobody's going to be at, and I'll have to be there from 6:30 till at least 10 p.m. And
we'll have choir rehearsal
on Thursday,
we'll table Luke rants incessantly about some bullshit his brain won't shut up about until a future episode.
Okay. Kyle.
So, let's play a song by Molly Lewis, whose last name I completely forgot on the Fump podcast the other day. I'm sitting there going, Molly, So this is Molly Lewis with a song that's so new that it's not even, like, officially recorded and released yet. I've just found a few YouTubed performances of her doing this live, but she's quite awesome.
Yeah. It's a great song.
And, well, she explains the premise, so I'll just shut up. Here it is, Molly Lewis on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Do you guys know who Stephen Fry is? Okay, fine. I'll play it. This is a song. I don't have it on the YouTubes yet because I'm incompetent. But it's I wrote it recently, and it's about... I think that Stephen Fry is an exemplary human being, but he's a homosexual, so he can't accidentally have babies the way that the heterosexual man can. So I think that I'm qualified for the position of Stephen Fry's surrogate mother. And the only way I know how to express myself is in song, and so this song is called An Open Letter to Stephen Fry.
What's Luke plugging?
No!
Yeah!
What's at the...
Fump!
What's at that...
Fump! Skype works wonders.
At the Fump right now, you can download Hands-Free Device by Dino Mike, Nothing But a Geek Thing by Devo Spice featuring Worm Quartet, Every Other Song of Mine by Morning Sidekick, By Yams, I Said, by the Money Shot Cosmonauts, We Are the Vikings by Kobe LaCroix, Zombie Mama by Toy Boat, Blues Campbell by the Great Luke Ski, and What a Friend We Have in Cthulhu by the Consortium of Genius, Cog.
Cog. So, a free MP3 of the week over at... My website is It Takes Who, and even though I don't usually do this, I want to let people know in the coming weeks at LukeSki.com, the free MP3 of the week will be Black Friday, followed by It's a Fanboy Christmas, followed by Christmas in Hogwarts, followed by It's a Fanboy Christmas 2. So I figured I'd, you know, put all those things up for the holidays. So keep visiting LukeSki.com in the coming weeks to download all those if you don't have them yet.
Somebody needs to make a YouTube video for Fanboy Christmas.
That would be epic if somebody would do that. In fact, I don't know if you remember these videos made about a decade or more ago. Some fans in Michigan, I think they were based out of Michigan, I think they're friends of Jessica's and Bill's, made a thing called Babylon Park, where it was a cross between South Park and Babylon 5,
uh-huh.
like a little animated thing. I was in talks with them to work on a video done in that animated style for Fanboy Christmas when it first came out, and it never happened. So, you know, once again...
Aw, shucks. Aw.
Get involved! So, So yeah, you know, once again, Luke wants to be an animator or have, yeah, skills. So who knows?
Aww, shucks.
Flat29.com. The Lukeski.com store has Greatest Hits Volume 1 and What a Ripoff Volume 2, if you're interested in such things, along with all my other albums and merch. Artsbylukeski.com. You can hire me for Christmas parties or other holiday parties, or to make gifts of art to give to people, or, hey, Christmas cards. What a concept.
Or housewarming parties.
Or housewarming parties. Yes. So, yeah, go to artsbylukeski.com and, you know, contact me through there if you want to do something like that. The Dr. Demento Show is awesome, and you should listen to it. His website is drdemento.com, drdemento.com. Listen to his show online. It's only $2 an episode. It's the best show ever made. Damn it. Listen to
it. I intend to listen to it tomorrow.
Yes. And
I'm going to pay $4.
Excellent, because there's the low-quality stream is $2, the higher-quality stream is $4, or you could join the Demento Online Club like I did and... get the $4 quality level stream every week for, you know, as part of your membership, plus a bunch of credits for bonus episodes of any of the 500 or so episodes they got in their archives from the past 40 years. So, yeah, go check it out, drdemento.com. Upcoming tour dates, I am performing at the Midwinter Gaming Convention 2011 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, January 13th through 16th, 2011. Their website is deaduntildusk.com/midwinter, and they're going to have the guys from Chad Vader, Day Shift Manager, and also the guys from Richardson Productions, who made Dork of the Rings and Harvey Putter and The Ridiculous Premise, are also going to be there. So that's all really cool.
And in case anybody cares, I'll be performing this Friday, November 19th. At 7 p.m. at Northeastern Illinois University's auditorium for free. You can catch me doing a awesome hot duet, lesbian love scene thing, French Hoffman Offenbach deal. And really warm my heart if more people showed up than are apparently planning to.
I'm sorry I can't make it. I fail.
Yeah.
What shade of pink are you wearing today?
Well, I'm wearing this super light pink that it's been washed. The shirt's been washed so many times it almost just looks off-white. And it's got orange stripes and then a super dark pink stripes. And I don't think I've worn it on this show anymore, but I can't keep track anymore.
Well, I have one ignorant story, and it actually isn't caricature-related. Something happened to me, and it reminded me of something else, and I figured I'd just tie it in. It's a pet peeve of mine. People who sing songs wrong and, like, you know, kind of have an attitude about it, or maybe just the attitude of they don't care. Basically, I was in the Filk Room, and there was a young boy and a girl with him that I'm going to assume was his sister. And he had an acoustic guitar. And he had learned how to play the Journey song, Don't Stop Believin', on his acoustic guitar. And apparently this girl, you know, knew how to sing it. And I'm presuming by the way she was acting that, you know, she must have sung it on karaoke or on some video game or something where, like, the words appear and then you sing it as the words come along. But she didn't have any real sense of... like, you know, what the actual timing was without having the guide in front of her. So it's like, he's sitting there, you know, trying to do like, you know, Strum, 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 strum. Just a small town girl. Strum, 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 strum. Living in a lonely world. Strum, 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 strum. She took the midnight train. Okay, that's how it would have gone if it went correctly. What it was basically, it's like he's singing and she's like, strum, 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 strum. Just a small town girl. Strum, strum, strum. Living in a lonely world. So that she took the... And like he had to just stop because it's like that whole notion of, you know, there's timed spaces in between those lyrics. You have to wait until when you're supposed to sing them, but like instead of,
you know, like they're called rests.
Yeah. So basically, like he would stop, and then she would yell at him, like he was the one who was screwing up, and everyone in the room knew that she was the one who was screwing up. But since we're all filkers in a filk circle, no one's going to say to her, "No, it's your fault." So they started over. So everyone else in the room starts singing along, but they're singing it correctly, at, like, basically to kind of be one collective hive mind guide for her so that she knows or can maybe notice at all that she's not singing the song correctly.
Uh-huh.
And it just reminded me of this girl I used to date named Molly back in... And this was, like the super most annoying thing in the world to me, or at least it was at the time. Like, oh god, I wish I could think of a... Okay, let's say this is the first song I could think of, just for the sake of not wasting time. Let's pretend that one of her favorite songs was the song If I Had $1 Million by Bare Naked Ladies. Mm-hmm. So we'd be hanging out somewhere, and like all of a sudden something would come on, you know, and you know, boom, 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 and then she would say, "Oh, it's If I Had $1 Million. I love that song." And instead of waiting for the song to start singing the song because she likes the song, she would just start singing it immediately as she recognized that was the song. So it'd be like, "Dum dum 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 dum. If I had $1 million, yet? If I had a, you know, it's like, you're a retard. Sing the song when it's supposed to be sung. You have the music. It's a 4-measure lead, and you couldn't wait 3.5 more measures to sing it when it was properly supposed to be sung, you twit? Ah! So, yeah.
So, are you done ranting?
Yes.
I was going to say, I used to feel that way when I was a teenager or in my early 20s, but now I try to give people the right to sing just whenever. You know, I used to act like super mortified, embarrassed at my mom for not remembering lyrics or for singing off key or whatever, you know, when she sang along with things. And now I'm just kind of like, you know, that's just, you know, it's just a level of elitist that I don't think I should feel. So it can still annoy me somewhere in the back of my mind, but I just, you know, I think it's better to be tolerant of it.
Well, I have nothing against people singing bad. I have nothing against people screwing up the lyrics. The point is, this girl liked the song, knew the lyrics, knew the right notes to sing, refused to sing them when they were supposed to be sung.
It's not like she was doing that on purpose to annoy people.
It's like knowing that Iran has weapons of mass destruction, but invading Iraq instead. You're doing it wrong.
Whatever, elitist.
Because,
you know, you're the best singer on the planet and everything.
But I sing it when it's supposed to happen. I may be off key, but I sing it at the right time.
Well, maybe they're like, "Ew, God, I may be singing at the wrong time, but at least I'm not off key."
Well, I guess we'll just have to leave it as stalemate because I can't think of any other way to, unless we bring in Simon Cowell and we get his official response. Which we won't.
But we could.
So if you feel like picking fights, you can make comments at badreport.com, BADRAPPORT.com. Please leave us comments there. You can also leave us a voice message at the Bad Report hotline, which is 916-LUKESKI, 916-585-3754. Please leave us a message. No one's done that in about a month, so go for it. You could also leave us an iTunes review, which I totally forgot to check.
So,
I'm sorry.
You would have checked it.
anyway, I did everything else, but I forgot to do that. So I will check that and make sure it gets mentioned next month if somebody has posted a new review. Or next week. Next 2 weeks. Next fortnight. That's the right term. Anyway, anything else to say, Carrie?
No, I'm looking forward to doing a more regular episode next time. But I'm sure others like this smaller episode because it's smaller.
Well, things are going to change in a way, both with you in the house and me and my other situation, which will make it a lot easier for these things to happen.
Yes.
And more convenient for us. So.
Yes.
So things will get back to a more, you know, regular. And if I can afford it, maybe I'll get a second mic so that we can sound, you know, better when we're sitting next to each other doing the show. Anyway,
alrighty. So let's sign off then.
Yep. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. We're going out with a song by Julie Brown. Yes, the redheaded Julie Brown of Earth Girls Are Easy and Just Say Julie fame. She has a new album out. You can get on iTunes called Smell the Glamour. And this song is Another Drunk Chick. Yes, we're playing yet another parody of TikTok by Keisha on this show. But, but hey, why not? So I'm Luke.
I'm Carrie.
And this was a bad rapport.
Okay, bye.
Oh.
What? Wake up on the floor wondering where I am. What's that taste in my mouth? Is it tequila or ham? Last thing I remember, some guy asked me to dance. So what the hell happened to my underpants? But let's go out tonight.
Night.
T-shirts really tight.
Night.
Leave our bras at home.
Yeah.
Nip showing. Pull up in my Camry. Looking really nasty. Wanna get a whole lot wasted. Don't stop to the top. Come on, fill my drink up. Tonight, gonna party till I act up some Bacardi. On my watch, top tick. I'm just another drunk chick. Took home a dude who needed some vinaka, and when he had an orgasm, he sounded like Chewbacca. It's weird because at the bar, I thought he was much cuter, but when I woke up, he looked just like Freddy Krueger. Love how you dress so fancy, like you're putting on the Ritz. If you buy me one more drink, I'll show you my ID. Oh, you thought I was gonna say tits. Oh, I just said tits. I can't stop saying it. Tits, tits, tits. Wanna see? This club really smells. Let's drink till we lose brain cells. Is that a skittle up my nose? Wow, I must be really hosed.
Yeah.
But I just want to dance, even though I just hurled in the plants. Don't call the ambulance. I'm fine. Don't stop to the top. Hey, dude, fill my drink up. Tonight, gonna party till I yak up some Bacardi. It's tax for my breath, cause it kind of smells like death. Whoa, whoa, you ho. You ho, can't see, get blurry, want another wine with flurry. On my watch, top, think I'm just another drunk chick. In my head, feeling goofy, hope I didn't drink a roofie. Whoa, whoa, you ho, whoa, whoa, you ho. You hold my purse, you hold my cell, my BFF when I'm puking. My shirt is gross, my shoes are toast. What's in my hair? It's a hot wing! The party don't start till I blow chunks. Beer pong, is it wrong if I try to bet my thong? On my head, is it what? Hell, I'll have another fun. On my watch, top, think I'm just another drunk chick. Whoa, whoa, you ho. Whoa, whoa, you ho. Don't stop to the top. Come on, give me one more shot.
Do the 12 steps.
No, I can't take the stairs right now.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
We should probably mention quite how good Luke Ski's artwork is for this.
Shit me.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.